Well, good evening. I have some awesome news for you. 2018 is our year of harvest. Glory to God. It is time for us to reap a harvest of souls, a harvest of finances, a harvest of health, a harvest of whatever it is the devil's tried to keep from you. 2018 is our year of harvest. Lord said a double jubilee. It's not even just a jubilee. It's a double jubilee year. Glory to God. I'm telling you, you need to have your expectation out there. God's looking for people on whose behalf he can show himself strong. And I'll tell you, what I had on my heart for the times that I'll be ministering, if I will be, I don't know, on Wednesday nights, is what can we do to increase our capacity to receive from God? How can we become more fruitful? How can we reap better? What can we do that'll position us for the increase that God said was ours in this year of 2018? Well, glory to God. Pastor spent some time over the last several months teaching us about the different types of soil out of this portion of Scripture in Matthew 13. That's where I wanted to start tonight. Matthew 13, 1. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. And great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And some fell upon the stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100, some 60, and some 30-fold. Now, Pastor talked about all the different kinds of soil, except for the good soil. I guess he figured if you got all the thorns out, if you got all the rocks out, if you had nice soft soil, you'd be good soil. But tonight I had on my heart to look at the attributes of the good soil. Because how many of you are good soil? We want to be able to take in the word of God and bring forth a harvest of righteousness. Amen. We want to hear the word on healing and it be able to go down into our good soil and manifest out in healing in our bodies, healing in our families. Amen. We want to be that good soil. So I want us to look at some of the attributes of good soil. Now, understanding this parable and the teaching Jesus did right around it is very important to us in understanding how the kingdom of God operates and how to maximize our return in the kingdom. When he told that story about the seed and the sowers, the disciples didn't understand it. So they asked Jesus to explain it to them, and so he did, starting in verse 18. He said, Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon it with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground, say, I'm good ground, is he that hears the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. If we look at this portion of Scripture in each of the Gospels where it's recorded, it unfolds to us different attributes of good ground. And the first attribute of good ground that we want to look at is that good ground is people who both hear and understand the word. How many of you know hearing and understanding are two different things? There are people who hear the word, and they hear the word, but they don't understand it. And therefore, it profits them nothing. But how could that happen? How can someone hear the word and not really understand it? Well, Pastor talked about it. You know, that wayside soil is people who don't understand. And oftentimes it's because they're an unbeliever. How many of you know you ought not be arguing doctrine with unbelievers? It doesn't do any good because they don't understand. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 4:3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So if someone doesn't understand because they're not born again, then what is the cure for that? They need to be born again, right? There's no reason to argue doctrine. Their minds are blinded. They're not going to understand. Do you understand? People they argue with people who aren't even born again over whether or not tongues are for today or healing is for today, or they're not going to understand. And they're not going to understand until they get born again. And so what is the cure for that? They need to know only that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, who came to the earth as a man and died on the cross for their sins, and that he was risen from the dead. And in order to receive that forgiveness, he's already provided. All they have to do is what it says in Romans 10. Let's look at that. Romans 10:8. This is where you need to take them. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then once they are truly born again, and the blinders come off of their eyes, then they'll begin to understand more things. They'll begin to understand the word better. But until they're born again, they're not going to understand. How many of you know unbelievers are just not going to understand us? Just face reality. You know, I know sometimes we want them to, but they're just not going to. And that need to not only hear, but to understand the truth is one of the primary reasons we do children's ministry. It's not the only reason. The number one reason why we do children's ministry is because the Lord said so. He said, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. But, you know, I grew up in church. I mean, from the time I was born, practically, I joke that I was practically born on a pew, but that's almost the truth. And, you know, I sat in many an adult church service as a child, and most of it went right over my head. Why? Because it wasn't something, it wasn't broken down in a way that I can understand. So what we do in our children's ministry is we take these timeless truths from the Word of God, and we break it down into child-sized morsels. And we give them what they can understand at their level. And then line upon line, precept upon precept, we raise them up in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I tell you, we have a fantastic children's ministry. We have got some amazing teachers back there who flow in the gifts of the Spirit. We've seen God show up and show out in so many ways. We're raising up a generation who knows the truth, who knows the truth. How wonderful to grow up knowing the truth. I won't ask for hands, but how many of you had to spend years unlearning what you were taught wrong as a child? I know I had to spend a while trying to unlearn, but how wonderful that we are raising up a generation who do know their God and do exploits. I'm telling you, they are amazing children who know God and know how to work with him at a very young age. They can hear his voice, and they do hear his voice. I can spend the rest of the time talking about children's ministry, but I'm not going to. But my point is, in order to believe And in order to be good soil, you have to be able to understand the word that's coming forth. And a lot of that is on those of us who teach, making sure that we break it down simple enough and easy enough. Some of the best ministers I know started out in children's ministry. Why? Because if you can make it simple enough that a child can understand, and you can be interesting enough in your delivery to keep their attention, you can teach anybody. Are you hearing me? Because children will just tell you the truth. How many of you know that's the truth? One time Mark and I got in the car with a family, and the little boy looked at us and he said, "You're fat." And his mom and dad were like, But how many, you know, kids just tell you what they think. You know what I'm saying? And so if you're not doing a good job, they'll just tell you. But my point is, good soil, you have to not only hear, but understand what you're hearing. Sometimes as adults, we have to study in order to get understanding of the scriptures. Oh, Lord, Pastor Rhonda, I come to church. Ain't that enough? No, not really. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. Study, oh, Lord. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How many of you have ever read a scripture and you just don't quite understand it? If you don't understand it, what should you do? You should read it in context, in its setting. Back up a few verses and read down to it. Read a few verses beyond it and see if that adds any clarity to what you read. If it doesn't, what do? Then you go back and read the whole chapter. It's still not clear. What do? You go back and read the whole book. If it's still not clear, what else can you do? You can read other books by that same author in the Bible. Oh, listen. Sometimes these were written by real people. The Holy Ghost moved on men of old, but he didn't dictate word for word. He gave them impressions, but allowed them to pick the words as long as it accurately portrayed what he was trying to communicate. Are y'all with me? So sometimes understanding the word choice that they used in other areas. For instance, it says in, I think it's 1 Corinthians. I'm not sure where it is now. Yeah, I was not prepared to do this. Paul said, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." Do you understand? He goes on to talk about all kinds of things. But there's places in the word where Paul also talks about how he got stripes above measure. It wasn't talking about he got stripes of arrogance. Sometimes people think that has all to do with him being arrogant. Are you with me? Y'all looking at me funny. Grace, First Quarter Bible Institute, be there, aloha. We go into it in depth. But my only point is this: understanding the verbiage of the writer can sometimes help you to understand what's being written. So if you didn't understand something in First John, where else could you look? Second John, Third John, and the Gospel of, right? If you didn't understand something that Paul said in Romans, where else could you look? Colossians, Ephesians, Philippians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, all written by them. If you still don't understand, you could read the entire Testament in which it's found. If you still don't understand, you could read the whole book. Then if you still don't understand, you just go to a commentary, right? No. I said, or ask someone else in my notes. The problem with going to a commentary is what? It's just somebody's thoughts. The problem with asking somebody else what they think it means is what? It's just their thoughts. One of the most basic rules for proper Bible interpretation is that Scripture always interprets Scripture. You wouldn't go to the Quran to see if you can understand something in the Bible. You wouldn't go to the writings of Reverend Moon to see if you can figure out how many, you understand? Scripture interprets scripture. What if you still don't understand? Then you ask the Lord for understanding. I was asking the Lord something when I was a teenager. Something in the Word I just did not understand. It was maybe 10 years or 15 years later when I was at Rhema that I got the answer to what that scripture meant. But you see, the problem is I lacked so much foundation. If he'd have just given me the answer, I wouldn't have understood it. So I had to have other foundation. He had to get me other revelation. I had to have other understanding before he could unwrap that one scripture for me. Do you see what I'm saying? Most of the Bible is so clear a child can understand it. Are you with me? I'm not saying this is hard to understand. This is not hard to understand. This is easy to understand. But I would say that you need to read it. Listen, if you don't know the truth, any lie will do. When the devil came to Eve in the garden, he said, "Did God say?" What was he doing? He was trying to see if she knew what God said. Why? Because if she didn't know what God said, he could tell her anything and she would believe it. God had said to them, "You can eat from any tree of the garden, but the tree that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not surely eat." Now, mercifully, she knew that. But if she didn't know it, he could have said, if he would have said, "Hath God said you shall not eat of the trees in the garden?" And she'd say, if she would have said, "I don't know," he'd have said, "No, God said eat from that one first. That tree there of the knowledge of good and evil, you just march right over there because God said that's the best one. You need to eat from that one first." How many of you know if she didn't know the truth, any lie will do? That's true of you as well. If you don't know the truth, any lie will do. But if you still lack understanding, go to 2 Timothy 2:7. It says, "Consider what I say, and the Lord will give thee understanding in all things." He'll help you to understand the word. James 1:5. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." So good soil is soil that not only hears, but understands the word. That's in Matthew. Now let's look at what Mark says is good soil. "And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now, when the apostle Mark talked about the good soil, he brought out the fact that you not only have to hear the word and understand the word, but you also have to receive the word. How many of you know it's possible to hear the word, to understand the word, and yet reject the word? Belief is a choice. Every time you hear the word of God, you make a choice as to whether or not you'll believe it. When Miss Mary said, "Your giving is important," you made a choice whether or not you believe her. When the scripture says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over," when that word comes forth, you choose whether or not you're going to believe it or not. Belief is a choice. I've heard people say, "Oh, I just can't believe that." But that's not true. Belief is a choice. You either choose to believe or you choose not to believe. But let me ask you a question. If you reject the truth, then what's left? Only lies. Only lies. Listen, the word of God is full of the will of God. The word of God is full of the thoughts of God. What is there and our understanding of it is critical. Let's go to James 1:21. It says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." We have to receive the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Listen, I know I'm not the only one. How many of you ever sat in church and made your grocery list in your brain? Thought about the roast that's in the oven at home and hoped you turned the oven on time, bake right? Or am I the only one the devil comes out with thoughts trying to distract? How many of you know the word of God could be going forth and you're not receiving it at all? How much of the word you receive is up to you. But listen, the word is going forth. Word which is able to save your souls if you'll receive it. Are you with me? We were first married and we were in the storefront and literally, hadn't been married but a few months. And we used to stand out in the side door there and greet people as they left, you know, just real light and fluffy. You know, thank you for coming. So good to see you. Hi, my name is Rhonda. You know, that's about as deep as it usually goes, right? So a woman came out of the service and I said, you know, gosh, I'm so glad you were here today. And she said, I just want you to know that I used to go to this church, this other church, and this situation happened. And they were my judge, they were my jury, and they were my executioner, and I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Do you hear me? I'm not going back until they apologize. By the time she was through, she was literally screaming at me. Mark came running from the inside the church to see who was yelling at his brand new wife. But how many of you know it made me so sad for her? Because her heart was so full of so many other things. I doubt she even heard the word of God that went forth that morning in church. Word that could have changed her life. Word that should have changed her life. She didn't even hear it probably. What is my point? Make your time in this room count. Come into this room with your heart open. We're going to talk about this maybe in future weeks, but I encourage you to come in. This is not just Pastor Mark talking. This is not just Pastor Rhonda talking. This is not just Mary talking. This is God talking to me. When I come into this room, Father, I believe and I expect that you are going to speak to me by your Spirit. You come in that way, you're going to get precious treasure from the Word of God. That's the kind of person God skips over other people to get to. Do you understand? He might skip over the person next to you making out their grocery list. When my daughter was little, she used to sit in the back with my mom during saturation meetings, and one night after service, she came to me and she was so mad. She's just like little, 7 or 8. She's like, I couldn't even hear Dad's word. I couldn't even hear Dad preach tonight. I said, well, honey, why not? She said, because the ladies in front of me were talking the whole service. And I thought, well, maybe one of them was translating. You know, sometimes we have people who, we're a multinational church, and sometimes somebody has trouble. And I said, well, honey, you know, were they translating the service? And she said, no, they were talking about shopping. How many of you know what you put into it is what you get out of it? And I'll say this, you don't know who's sitting around you. We have had people come into this room, not this room. We've had people come into this church saying, God, if you don't meet me tonight, I'm going to kill myself. What if your shopping discussion kept them from hearing? What you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. I challenge you. I challenge you. Come in. Father, I'm expecting to receive from you tonight. How many of you know God can, he'll rearrange a whole service to get you what you need. God spoke through a donkey to get Balaam out of trouble. He can speak through whoever. It doesn't matter who's preaching. Are you with me? Come expecting him to speak to you. It'll change everything. You'll leave different. Jeremiah 15, 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Listen, you not only have to find his words, you have to eat them. What is that? I'm not talking about ripping pages out of your Bible and eating them. I said that for the benefit of everyone in here under the age of 12. But you do have to take his words and receive them and take them down inside you as though you did eat them. That was a good word, man. Glory to God. How many of you know when you eat natural food, it goes down inside of you and becomes part of you and nourishes and strengthens your physical body? And when you eat his words, it's the same way. They go down inside of you and become such a part of you that they nourish and strengthen you spiritually, and they just become part of the fabric of who you are. Listen, it's not enough that you just hear the word and understand it. You have to receive it. And take it in. I receive your word. I'm expecting you to speak to me. And when you do, that's another attribute of good soil. He'll rearrange a whole service. Sometimes Pastor and I get off on stuff and we're thinking, what does that have to do with the price of, you know, anything? You don't have nothing to do with nothing. But somebody will come up afterwards and say, man, you answered something straight from the mouth of God for me. God can rearrange a whole service to get you what you need when you come in hungry and expecting. But if you come in, you know, kind of, Pastor Rhonda again, good night. It's almost time. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. That's going to be funny, but I won't. Luke 8, 15. But that on the good ground are they. Matthew said you have to hear it and understand it. Mark said you have to hear it and receive it. Luke, but that on the good ground are they, which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bringing forth fruit with patience. That word keep, according to Merriam-Webster's dictionary app on my phone, is to take notice of by appropriate conduct, to fulfill, such as it means to be faithful to. You're supposed to keep his word. You're supposed to be faithful to his word, to act fittingly in relation to his word, to conform in habits or conduct to his word, or to stay in accord with his words. Another way of saying we keep the word is we do his word. We read the scripture a moment ago, James 1:21. Wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass or a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. The Bible likens the word to a mirror. And sometimes when we look in the mirror, we see things that need to be fixed. Are y'all with me? So this afternoon, after my lunch, I had a handful of pecans for dessert with my lunch. So I had a handful of pecans, right? So about an hour later, I went into the restroom and I looked in the mirror and I was like, ooh, got a pecan in my tooth. But I didn't pay much attention at that time because I had other things I was doing. So I did what I had to do. And I washed my hands and I walked out and I went back to my sermon. And I forgot that I had the pecan in my tooth. Now, I know that's a weird example, but that's kind of what he's talking about. When you see something in the Word, do something with it. When you see something in the mirror, do something with it. Because if you don't, you're liable to walk away and forget all about it. Now, mercifully, I looked in the mirror again before I came in here tonight, or else I'd have had a pecan right there in my tooth. How many of you have ever been out with somebody and you got spinach in your teeth or something, you know? Don't you want them to tell you so you can do something about it? Sometimes I just get amazed. I'll go through the whole meal. Be a friend, man. Be a friend. How many of you know the Word of God is a mirror and it's your friend? And if it's showing you got spinach in your teeth, then do something about it. If you don't do something about it, you're just like, oh, yeah, I got spinach, and then don't do anything. How many of you know that knowledge didn't profit you at all? That's what he's talking about. You can't. It's not enough to see. It's not enough. You have to do. You have to fix. You have to do whatever you have to do. If you want to lead a fruitful life, reaping the good things God truly has for us, it's not enough just to hear the word. We have to hear it and understand it and receive it and do it if we want to be the good soil that produces. I heard someone say once, you do every day what you truly believe, and the rest of it is just fluff. Let's say you're in Bible Institute and hear that you're supposed to be forgiving others who have wronged you. So you hear the word and you understood it. And if you choose to receive that word, all of that is good. But it's not until you start doing the word and actually begin to forgive people who've wronged you that you begin to be fruitful and begin to grow up in God in this area and get free. How many of you know it's not just hearing that you need to forgive that's going to set you free from all that bitterness and anger in your heart like that lady that Sunday morning? How many of you know she needed set free? There comes a point. No, there doesn't even come a point. Unforgiveness hurts you. It didn't hurt the person who wronged you. They don't care. If they cared about you, they wouldn't have wronged you to begin with. Unforgiveness sets you free. Forgiveness sets you free. Unforgiveness holds you captive. Forgiveness sets you free. But hearing that is not enough. You actually have to do it to be free. Are you with me? It's in the doing of the word that the freedom comes. It's in the doing of the word. Let's go to Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. In verse 25 and 27, it was the same rain. The rain descended on both houses. The floods came to both houses. The winds blew on both houses and beat upon that house. One fell and one did not. But what was the difference between the two? Verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Verse 26. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. How many of you know whether you build on the rock or whether you build on the sand is up to you? Whether your house is going to be strong and you're going to be able to withstand the storms of life that come to everybody is largely up to you. Are you a doer of the word? You know, when I was growing up, they used this portion of scripture to say, you have to hear the word. That, you know, it's the word that you have to build your foundation on the word. Or they said the rock was Jesus. And how many of you know you do got to build your life on the word? And Jesus is the rock. But that is not what it says. The only difference between the two is that one did the word and one just heard the word but did not do. Which house are you? Which house are you? Have you ever wondered why some people who started at the same time we did, heard the same word we did, some of them grow to be mighty and fruitful in the kingdom of God, and others never seem to grow up and do anything? You ever notice that? When I was in Bible school, I got such precious treasure. I was, like I said, born on the pew. I've been in church all my life. I didn't go to Rhema till I was 20. I think I was 28 when I went to Rhema. And so I'd been in church for 28 years. How many of you know 28 years, a couple services a week, you get a fair amount of word. And so, you know, I had 28 years worth of word in me. But I'm telling you, the precious treasure I got at Rhema, it was just absolutely life-changing for me. I used to just go in there so hungry every day, gobbled down, because so many things I didn't understand about the word, they helped me to understand at Rhema. And I was so hungry, I just ate it all up. And it absolutely changed everything about my life. But there are people who sat right around me. Some of them heard the same word I heard, and they're doing even better than I'm doing today. But there are others who sat right there, heard the same word I heard, and have not been productive in the kingdom of God to this day, decades later. What made the difference? I think there's a number of factors. One of them is being a doer of the word. I want us to look at the next few Wednesday nights that I speak. I don't know how often that'll be, on how to increase your fruitfulness in the kingdom of God. How can you increase your capacity? How can you increase the amount of fruit that you produce? A lot of that is up to you. And he said, this is our year. 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 I want to increase your capacity to receive from God. I want to increase your ability to bear more and more and more fruit until we're the most fruitful bunch of folks this area has ever seen. And I want you to notice I didn't say fruity. I said fruitful. We're producing. The word goes in and the fruit comes out. The word goes in on healing and healing fruit springs forth. The word goes in on prosperity and our prosperity springs forth. The word goes in on family relationships and greatness in our family springs forth. It is our year. It's our year. It's our year. I want you to be as fruitful for the kingdom of God as you can be. Fruitful, full of fruit. There's a number of things here in this good ground that we need to do. We not only have to hear the word, but we have to understand it and receive it and keep it. But what else? Luke 8:15. But that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Oh, Lord. There's that P word. You bring forth fruit with patience. You stick with it. You keep after it. You keep saying it. You keep doing it until it produces a harvest in your life. You keep after it till you bring forth fruit. But in order to do that, it requires patience. Hebrews 6:12. That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. No, go back. How do we inherit the promises? It's not a trick question, it's on the board. How do we inherit the promises? Faith and patience. Faith and patience. Do you know your faith lasts only as long as your patience? Because if you get impatient and you give up, you're going to forfeit what God has for you. What do we got to do? We got to keep after it. We got to keep speaking the word. We got to keep believing. We got to keep speaking. I have a saying on my wall right near my bedroom door. Every day holds a possibility of a miracle. I see it before I leave my room every day. Every day holds a possibility of a miracle. This is my day to walk in the miraculous. This is my day to walk in the supernatural power of God. This is my season to reap, and I keep after it, and I keep after it, and I keep after it until I receive it all. But in order to receive it all, it takes faith and patience. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Next verse. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Verse 15. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He patiently endured and he obtained. Do not let go of your faith for lack of patience. How silly to forfeit a lifelong blessing over temporary lack of patience. Good soil hears the word, understands it, receives it, keeps it, and sticks with it until it produces the desired result in your life. Did you hear me? Good soil hears the word, understands it, receives it, keeps it, and sticks with it until it produces the desired result in your life. I want us to look at Luke 8:15 in the message. But the seed in the good earth, these are the good hearts who seize the word and hold on no matter what, sticking with it until there's a harvest. I'm telling you, what has God promised you that you've not yet seen? What are you due? What are you due in this your due season? I'm telling you, you need to receive the word on that. You need to hang on to it until there's a harvest. You need to hang on to it. Hold on to it no matter what. Hold on to that word. Hold on to that word. Don't let your patience run out and cause you to forfeit the blessing. Because we inherit a blessing by faith and patience. Hold on to it. Stick it out. Until you get it. Hold on to it. Stick it out until you get it. Hold on to it. Stick it out until you get it. Well, Pastor Rhonda, how long do I have to do that? Stick it out. Hold on to it until you get it. Until you get it. I heard somebody say one time, if you knew what was on the other side of that mountain, you'd move it. He's got more stuff for us, better stuff for us this year than we can even imagine. And it's by faith and patience that we're going to inherit the promises. Every day, hold on to it, no matter what. No matter what. I've watched God turn around situations that looked impossible. And even after I started confessing and believing, they still looked impossible. And some, you know, how many of you know the devil sometimes, he tries to be attitudinal. Look at you confessing the word and changed a thing. Yeah? You just stick around, bucko. Just like Jesus spoke to the fig tree and his words went to the root and began to dry it up from the root. My words are powerful. My confession of his word in my mouth is just as powerful as his word in his mouth. And I'll not give up till I see the end result. I'll not give up. I'll not give up on one thing God has promised me until it's all fulfilled. Every dadgum bit of it. And I don't care what that does to you, Mr. Devil. You're just going to have to get over yourself. Because this is our year. This is our year of harvest, of double jubilee. And we're going to get it all. We're going to get it all. Everything God's promised us. Everything he's told us is ours. Everything he's promised us. We're going to hold on no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. We're going to stick with it until there's a harvest. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we believe your word. Father, we want to be people of good soil. I thank you for the opportunities that we have to hear your word. And I thank you that you unfold understanding to our hearts. And when you do, Father, we choose to receive it. We choose to receive it. And we not only receive it, we choose to keep it and to act on it and to stick with it until it produces the desired result. I thank you, Father, that you are not a man that you should lie. Not one word that you've spoken will ever fall to the ground unfulfilled, but it shall accomplish that which you sent it forth to do. And I thank you for it, Father. Your words are powerful. Your words are powerful. Your words are containers of the very power of God. And when we take those words into us and we believe them, it releases the power that's necessary to bring that thing to pass in our life. Belief is a choice, and we choose to believe, and we choose to receive, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.